Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 16, ending in verse 20, where we will see that God says he will never leave you, and not only that, he has wonderful plans for you. But it's up to you if you want to walk according to his will and his plan for your life. Now let's join Pastor Dave as he finishes up the book of Matthew in chapter 28, verses 16 through 20.
However long I've been walking with Jesus makes me that old in Jesus. You don't just become a 30-year-old Christian at conversion. So why do we as the church sometimes put a trip on people that are new to Christ that they are not mature like we think they should be yet? They're babes. We're making disciples. It's a process. It's forbearing. It's being patient. It's being kind. It's being gentle. It's directing. It's instructing. It's a process. And you are mature when you put up with new people in Christ gently, kindly, graciously, mercifully, like Jesus has done with you. We're making disciples. We preach to them. We evangelize. It's not just telling them things, it's in the right timing. Sometimes it's in the course of many years, not just at one sitting. Sometimes it's little deposits here and there, little opportunities here and there, because we're in it for the long haul, man. We're building relationships. We're building trust. I could do a whole sermon on it. I don't have time right now, but you get what I'm saying. And as we evangelize and as they believe, as they take that stance of putting all their weight and their confidence on Jesus, Messiah, then that there should be this direction that comes from us that now it's time to outwardly display that you are his and that he is yours. Now, for us today, that's like saying an altar call. Baptism for them then was like an altar call that we do in church today. They only had the temple at this time. The temple was still polluted. The temple was still under false operation by religious leaders. So they didn't have church organized in buildings like we do today. You have to understand that, okay? It's like if you're like my family, we were Catholic. If you're an Italian, you're Catholic, right? That's how you're a nominal Catholic. That's how it goes. They would not understand that this is church doing this in a Catholic building. It would be like sacrilegious activity. They would geek. They would lose their minds. So what happened for them then is they would go out into the wild. They would go to some river. It didn't matter. There were mitzvahs everywhere. There were all sorts of ordinances and baptisms that they had to do legally, but they broke from that after they believed and were saved. And then they would outwardly demonstrate to their family and to their friends that in my going under the water, it's like my burial. In my going under the water, it's like you can't bury somebody in dirt at a baptism, so it symbolizes, it's like me going in the grave, me going in the ground. And me coming up out of the water is my newness of life. It's me walking and living in his resurrection power. It's not the old me anymore that lives. I'm a new person. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. So there's going to be this internal, belief that leads to my conversion, but then there's going to be this outward demonstration of what Jesus has done inside of me. There's a process. And then there's going to be teaching. See that? Then there's going to be teaching. That's when it's not just, okay, I know what Jesus did when he came into this world and when he died on the cross and his resurrection. Now I actually start learning doctrine, which is what my job supremely is in this church, is to teach, to feed the sheep that are among me, is to feed you the word of God, to teach you doctrine, to tell you what this means now that you are his and that he is yours and your old life is buried and you're new in Christ. Now it's my job to explain that to you, to break it down to you every single week. And from time to time, I preach. And from time to time, people come forward like water baptism. They get saved. They're letting the world know that they want this Jesus that's being presented. And then we go right back to it. We teach, we teach, we teach. And he says, teach these people to observe. There's observation in the language here. It means this, to guard, to keep, to hold, to love. Teach people that are new to Christ to guard, to hold, to keep, to love, to cherish things like grace. Things like mercy. Things like the rapture of the church. Things like the second coming of Jesus Christ. Things like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You understand? Things like creation. Things that matter. Teach them the truth of the Scripture. I do, he says, I am with you to empower you for this ministry. You're not doing it on your own. You're doing it for me, but you're doing it with me. It's for all nations, all people. All things that we know, all the days of our lives. It's to discipleize. There's never an end in the process. There should always be prospects in our hearts. There should always be people that we are targeting, people that we are praying for, that we are seeking to reach with the love of Jesus Christ. We're making disciples. We're loving on people. You know, it's crazy because the people that he is speaking to, I don't know for sure who's there besides the 11. So I'll stay in my lane and just talk about that for a second. The people he's speaking to are completely imperfect. They did not have all their stuff together. They were not in some place where they were, you know, spiritually arriving where they have earned such favor and trust from Jesus. Hours before this commission, they were scattered and they ran and pretended they didn't even know who he was. Peter is just coming out of his greatest failure in all of his ministry. And even still, Jesus is saying, you're the perfect candidate for this ministry. I don't know if you guys know about the book of Acts, and maybe we'll go there soon. I'm not sure. I'm praying right now. But Peter, for the first 12 chapters, if my memory serves me correctly, is the prominent figure after Jesus Christ. There are two P's that book is based on, Peter and then Paul. Neither of them are likely candidates to perpetuate the kingdom of God. Neither of them. Peter is a coward. Peter has got a big mouth. He's impetuous. And Peter is a failure by human description. And Paul is a murderer. He's a cold-blooded murderer. He's a religious zealot that Jesus Christ saves and gives a revelation of grace to. And these two men predominantly, with the great help of the Holy Spirit of God, turn the world upside down, or should I say it rightly, right side up for Jesus Christ. So there's no dismissing ourselves right now. There's no saying, well, I just came back to Jesus in worship. Perfect. It was at a worship service that these people too were commissioned. There is no excuse. Do not back up. Do not put yourself in a corner. Do not believe the lies of the enemy. You have been purchased with the greatest, most precious blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, you are the most expensive, costly thing on all of the planet. If Jesus has saved you, Jesus will keep you. If Jesus has revealed himself to you, Jesus will go after you when you get lost, when you get stuck in the muck. He wants to use you, and he wants to start today. He wants every single one of us to get serious and start making disciples, to become mature and start making disciples, to stop criticizing, to stop scrutinizing, to stop inspecting, to stop backbiting, to stop gossiping, to stop being drama kings and queens, to get serious about making disciples, to let love win, to edify, to encourage, to not just preach the gospel, but to show the gospel, to be patient and kind. Don't tell me about the gifts of the Spirit that you possess. Let me see the fruit of the Spirit that flows from your life. Let me see love, joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Let me see some self-control at Calvary Chapel. Let the world see it and go and make disciples, evangelize, tell the world about your story. You don't know how to evangelize? Tell them your testimony. You don't know how to articulate Scripture, even as simple as John 3? No condemnation. Tell them what Jesus did for you. It's irrefutable. Nobody can tell you that that's not true. What do you mean it's not true? This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long because of what he has done for me. As I do that, I let you know we're not to be cowards about this. We're to come out of the closet, man. We're to let the world know that we love Jesus, that we are his. There's no shame in it. The shame comes from acting like a jerk when you come to Jesus and beating people over the head with the Bible. That's the shame. There's no shame in loving Jesus. There's no shame in following Jesus and walking in the ways of Jesus. The shame comes when you start incorporating man's rules and laws and regulations and putting trips on people. That's when it's shameful. It's embarrassing. I had to get off Facebook. It's embarrassing. It's stumbling to me. I'm hearing what people post and say and do. I wouldn't even want to come to church, man. If you're going to do it, something that's extra biblical, just don't tag Calvary Chapel, please. I'm trying to make disciples. I'm trying to be like my Lord, Jesus, friend of sinners. I'm not compromising. Contact without contamination. I'm not saying I'm going to go into the bar and have a few beers, but I'll go to dinner and have a few Pepsis while you have a few beers. If you don't know Jesus, I don't expect you to walk and act and talk like you know Jesus. You don't know Jesus. He is the transforming power in my life. I am not spiritual, and I am not a Christian because I abstain from certain things by self-discipline. I am becoming those things because of the indwelling Spirit of God that is changing me from the inside out. And if another person doesn't possess it, how can they behave the way I'm behaving? I'd be right there with them. I got something supernatural going on. I can't take any credit for that. Contact without contamination. Make disciples. When a newborn, when a newbie does something that you don't do anymore, remember what you were like when you were first crawling. And teach. So I coach a little bit. Little league stuff, baseball, basketball, whatever my kids are in, I'm going to be involved. If I'm not officially coaching, I'm still coaching. And there's like a really fine line. I don't know if there's any coaches in here today. But there's a really fine line between being hard on a kid and coddling a kid. At least what I've observed. When I was in high school, we had the greatest wrestling coach in the state. Arguably a top 10 maybe in the country coach. And I watched him. That's my personality. I'm very observant. And as tough as he was, guys loved him. They respected him because he did have a kind side. He did have a father-like attention that he gave. There's a balance in coaching. You definitely want to be in the kid's face from time to time and tell them the truth and let them have it. That's appropriate from time to time. But you can't only do that or else they're going to quit. But you also can't always be so soft on that every time that they throw a hissy fit or they do something they shouldn't have done, they're late to practice, whatever it be, that you crush them and tell them, well, that's okay. You have a rough life. It's not easy for you. You know, there has to be a balance of the two in order to make a strong, thriving, successful athlete. So it is in the body of Christ. We've got to tell the truth. But Jesus is not just truth. He's grace and truth. And he's the perfect mix of both. And if we rely on his Spirit, his I do, I'm with you, let me lead you in this endeavor, we will be seriously successful. But if we step out of that and we start being impulsive, we start just speaking every thought that we have, we correct every little thing, we start getting out of the Word of God because this here is what keeps us balanced, and we start to become, you know, our own version of the things that Jesus says, that's when we start leaning too far to the left or too far to the right by nature. And then we say we're doing it in Jesus' name, and that's the turnoff. No way anybody's getting turned off by Jesus Christ if he's presented rightly. That's the reason this church has grown. Not because I'm so great at it, but because we do our very best to present Jesus rightly. People are attracted to Jesus if you just keep it Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Y'all obviously know what I'm saying because you're here. He is the attraction. For the worship, they're great, but he's the attraction. We lift up the name of Jesus. If I be lifted up, I know he's talking about the cross, but I think secondarily he's speaking about too. If I be lifted up, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I will. You don't have to do anything. I will draw all men to myself. That's what he said. So it's like, all right, I'm going to cooperate with that. I'm going to get a guy, and I got the best in my opinion, my brother, to lead us in worship. He has the ability to pull people in that are gifted and skilled, and he has no envy or jealousy of any of them. He just seeks to give them a platform to help him lead us to the presence of God, okay? Then I'm going to get up, and I'm going to preach book after book after book till Jesus calls. I'm going to finish a book. I'm going to start a new book. There's no hierarchy. There's no curriculum. It's just the word of God, and songs that glorify the Son of God. And if I think we just keep doing this and having prayer meetings, because he said it's a house of prayer, and breaking bread, like, yeah, bagels and cinnamon buns, but supremely elements that speak of his body and his blood. I think if we just master these four things with him, I'm pretty sure that the gates of hell are not going to prevail. I'm pretty sure he's going to build his church. He's going to do it. We just got to stick to the template. Even in 2019, as difficult as it's going to get, and you can pray for me, it's going to get difficult for me to preach to a generation if the Lord tarries. That is so sensory. I'm just not scared of it, though. Because he didn't say, do this till every single person has tablets in their hands and even follow along reading their Bibles with tablets in their hands or gadgets in their hands, and then we'll come up with something different because they're going to be so sensory, you know, they're going to be so messed up from that, they're going to need something different, and we'll address it then. He just said, just do this all the way home. And I just believe, I've just got this faith. Daniel team, would you come? I just got this trust in God that if I do it, I know it's going to be hard. It already is hard. But I just think that the word of God is so divine and so supernatural that even these gadget, I want to be careful, but like obsessed individuals are going to, they're not going to be able to help themselves from lifting their head when the Spirit of God is in cooperation with the messenger. And he's going to get them. I don't think we got to sweat it. I think we just got to stick to the program. I think we just got to keep doing it, church. If you're older and you're getting close to being with the Lord, if everything goes the way it should, we need you. We love you. We're thankful for you. There's a great place for you in this church and the ministry. There's no retirement. Please, we need you. We need you guys 56 years. We need you. I need you. I need to have people that I look to and I say, man, 56 years, that's what it's all about. We need you. We need Marys, we need Edies and prayer meetings, tending to our children. They're the grandmas and the grandpas of this church. Vic Robinson, if you're here this morning, we need you. I get it, your spouse is gone to be with the Lord. It must kill you, I can't imagine. But your ministry's not done, or Jesus would have taken you guys in a car accident or something. You would have gone together. God still has plans for you. You widows, God still has plans for you. You widowers, God still has plans for you. You middle-aged people, don't start looking around and say, well, there seems to be a young person, young person, young person. I mean, Tim, this is no insult, but Tim is up here. Chris is no young man. He is up here. Steve, he's beyond wisdom because he doesn't even have hair anymore. And the Bible says that a white head of hair is a crown of wisdom. This is awesome. We love you guys. We need you. Don't look at it and say, well, there's all these young singers and these guys are wearing clothes I thought were pajamas and sweatpants and whatever. They're not. It's not. It's cool. Just like your bell bottoms were cool. Who cares? It means nothing. Come here long enough. Don't judge us by our looks and hear what we're doing. It's all about Jesus. Don't look at it and sweat it and say, well, I don't know if there's a place here because it seems to be that it's trending. It's trending towards nothing. It's trending towards the Great Commission. We need you. Don't start believing the lies of the enemy. If you're young here today, you're not too young. I'm serious. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. You are not too young. We will not despise your youth here if you've given us no reason to. Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise your youth. Just be an example, Tim. They're gonna look at you and they're gonna say, you know what's funny? When I was first coming on the scene, I taught for my dad at 18, first time in the sanctuary. I was too young. But before I came and started teaching for my dad and being involved in the ministry, I was a hard-headed punk prodigal. Then I got right with Jesus, and I wanted to start serving Jesus, and now I'm too young. And you can't. Here's the deal, young people. You can't win. So either they're gonna hate on you because you're so carnal and worldly like they were when they were teenagers, but they forgot. Or you're going to actually come to Christ and walk with Jesus, and now they're going to, pull up your pants, those, you know, your hair, who cares? We love you guys. It's not just your parents' church. It's not just your aunt, uncle's church, your grandparents' church. It's your church. That's why we built that gym. Beat your church up. Don't beat our church up, right? I mean, like this is what it's all about, man. There's a place for everybody here because we're just making disciples. And as much as we're making disciples, we're being made. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you guys, but I can tell you the truth. I am not finished yet. I am absolutely 100% under construction. Completely. I'm a little nervous of when my daughters and my son fill this front row and I have to preach in front of them just because I know I'm not this perfect dad. I struggle sometimes when Shauna's in the service. She'll be here at second. And sometimes it's like, man, I know I'm not living up to what I'm preaching and nobody knows it better than those five. It's embarrassing sometimes. It's condemning. But we just got to keep it real with ourselves. I'm not finished yet, but he who started the good work. Come on, he who started the good work. Let's get to our feet. He who started the good work. Let's stand as a congregation. He who started a good work will be faithful to complete it unto us unto the day of Jesus Christ.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride and hit the ground.